And we continue on, finish up, but not finish up today, but the last part of the end of Perek Yud-Dalet. The Prakim don't really have any meaning. It's not really a paragraph break. But the last, excuse me, eight psukim of this Perek kind of form a unit. Start looking at the famous poem in Through the Looking Glass of the Walrus and the Carpenter. Remember that?
Yes,
Read
I
out,
know what you
my
mean. It
time has
sounds
come. Walrus had to talk of many things, of shoes and ships and stealing wax and cabbages and kings, and why the sea is boiling hot and whether pigs have wings. I like Lewis Carroll. Sounds like
my
it ought
word.
to mean something, and people will get their PhD thesis trying to analyze exactly what it is, but it's still nonsense. So doesn't really mean anything, but we look at, say, for Mishlei, we expect something more meaningful from all these things in here, all the little things that it talks about, and have to analyze it. So Mishlei doesn't talk about shoes and ships and sealing wax, as far as I know, but it does talk of kings, and that's where we are right now. I'll get it here with the translation, Kafchet. Barov Am Hadarat Melech, that's a famous phrase, and with a multitude of people is the glory of the king. Be'efes La'om, without any people, Michtat Razon, a prince is nothing. Ruined. Erech Apayim Rav Tumanah, patience comes with great understanding, Ksaruach, and being short-tempered with Miriam Mevelet brings up foolishness. Hayei Besarim, the life of the flesh, Lev Marpeh is a healing heart. He translates as tranquil heart, which I think is a good translation. Rukavat Samot, Kina, but jealousy rots the bones. Oshik Dal, Charef Oseh, someone who oppresses the poor, blasphemes his creator, umachabdo, but someone who honor, but one who honors his creator, Konen Evyon, is gracious to the poor. Rato Yidache Rasha, that the wicked are pushed away, cast aside in their evil, b'chaseh b'motot tzadik, but the righteous still finds shelter in his death. Lev Navon Tanu Chachma, a wise wisdom rests in a wise heart, and Kerik Silim Tivadea, and it is known in the midst of the fools. So Katramim Goy, justice exalts a nation, Bechesed Lu'umim and sin, and rather Chesed and kindness is a sin for nations. Ritzon Melech Evid Maskil. A king finds favor with a wise servant, Evratot Yeh Mavish, but his anger is toward those who do badly. Sounds like a lot of different things in here. It's got a lot of stuff about kings, right? Barov Amadar Melech, that the glory of a king is in a multitude of people, and Tzedakat from Goy, and nations are glorified with righteousness. I figure out what's going on with all this, right? It's not a book about politics. So this is Mishle's reading this about ethics. How do we deal with others? How do we become better people? So what do we do with that? Now, we've mentioned kings before, Perchet, which is all about the speech that Chachma gives, talking about how important it is to have wisdom, says Ani Chachma, I, wisdom, Shachna Arma, I'm the dwelling of cleverness, Dat Mizimot Imsa, planning, knowledge are found with me. Bimlachim Yimlachu, kings rule through me. That's the voice of wisdom. Rosnim Yechakut Tzedek, and princes engrave justice. Bi Sharim Yasuru, rulers rule through me. Nedivim Kol Shoftei Tzedek, and princes. And all those who judge righteously. That's wisdom. It's talking about the parents of Chachmah, it's not talking about the Melech here. And when we go forward from here, we'll bring up advice to the king many times later in Sefer Mishlei, but this is where it starts. So we have this time to start. Chaim has come to talk of many things, of the kings at least, not of cabbage or sealing wax, but we'll see what comes up. But presumably, this is the book of metaphors, Sefer Mishlei, and this is a metaphor. So what do we do with this? The glory of a king is Rob'am with a lot of people. What does it mean? So what does it mean to be a melech? What's a king? And this is a famous comment of the Gra, the Vilna Gaon. He talks about what the difference is between a melech and a moshel, a ruler. The melech who should kulam yitush chem echad la'avdo, yitnu lo keter melucha. A king is someone that the people get together and appoint and coronate one person to lead them. V'emet ha'melech atzmo shaveh l'shar ha'am be'echutam, that the king really is no different from any of the rest of the people. Akshe kulam yamlichuhu aleihem. The people make one person the king, put them in charge. Got to be by the consent of the governed. Yikablu ol malchuto. They'll accept the yoke of his kingship. Moshe, but Moshe just means to rule. Someone's called a Moshe, Shem Malach Malchuto Ba'elav Bechinat Moshe. I'm going to rule because he takes power. Ushagi Bor Mikulam, I'm stronger. It's stronger than everybody else. Chavash Aretz Umah and conquers the land or conquers the people. Yot Tachet Memshalto, and they now are subject to them. So Melech rules by the consent of the governed. That's the difference. And in fact, Aramaic, the word malach means to take advice. We'll see that occasionally in Hebrew as well. But so that's coming, that's the definition of a melach is someone who is accepted by the people as a ruler. So a president would be a melach in this sense. So when we say Barov Am Hadarat Melach, our pasuk here, in the multitude of people is the glory of the king, that's the definition of a melach. It's all the Rov'am, the people working together, and makes a melech meaningful. So on Rosh Hashanah, we make Hashem melech. We are mamlich Hashem by coming together and accepting him and acknowledging him. And so this pasuk of Rov'am hadar melech, have you heard that before? Gets quoted a lot. Quoted on the halacha. It takes melech here as a metaphor for God. And that the glory of God is when a lot of people get together. The mitzvah is better done in public with many people. And that comes up a fair amount of time, comes up here's the Gemara in Sukkah talking about the Beit HaMikdash. Amru b'nasha Merta bat Baitut. It was said about the daughter of Merta, who was a Kohen, that he was strong enough to carry two thighs of a huge ox. He'd walk heel to toe slowly up the ramp of his mizbeach, and he didn't need anyone any help. He could carry the meat up all by himself, of an entire ox. The rest of the Kohanim wouldn't let him do that. Because it was better if more people were involved. You couldn't do it all yourself. They had to have lots of Kohanim doing the avodah. Or Gemara Menachot, dealing with a mincha, a grain offering. It's the same thing. You couldn't have one person bringing the grain up. A Kamash Malan, we teach the Ba'inin Shlosha Kohanim. You need at least three Kohanim. One to hold the bowl, one to take a handful out of it, the other one to bring it up to the Mizbeach. Yishuv Netziv, Barov Am Hadar HaMelech. Same thing. The more people involved, the better. Or more relevant to us, this is a halacha about Megillat Esther. When we're reading the Megillah. The time that they're reading the Megillah in Shul. As I feel yeshlo me'a anashim b'veito. Even if you have a huge crowd in your house, mitzvah leilech l'sham. It's a mitzvah to go to Shul. Don't stay at home and read the Megillah at home. Go to Shul, join everybody else. Mishum b'rov am hadarat melech. Reading the Megillah should be done in public. The more people, the better. Similarly, if your house is right next to the shul, and your shul windows are open, you can hear just fine. You shouldn't stay home and listen to the Megillah. You should actually go there. Go to shul. Be part of the crowd. Everyone agrees that. This is principle Rov Am Hadarat Melech. the argument of breaking away into a little breakaway minion should try to get together. So that's true in terms of halacha of Rav'am. But I put it as a different approach. And what about Melech is all about? Not so much the ruler, but it is meant to be in the same idea, representative of the entire population. Right? As the Gra said, as the Melech, Atzmo Shaveh L'Sha'ar, the king is equivalent to the people. And you know, Torah requires that you're the Melech, the actual king, has to be one of Achak, has to be one of your brethren, has to be a brother, has to be part of the Jewish people. Pasuk says that some to see Melech Melech, you shall appoint a king, Asher Yivchar Bo, Asher Yivchar Hashem L'Kach Bo, the God will choose. Achecha, tasim melech. He has to be from amongst your brethren. Can't be a stranger. That the melech has to be able to represent the people. Has to be one of the people.
Is this only in Devarim, or that's also in the Book of Shmuel? No.
The Book of Shmuel doesn't say what the qualifications to be a melech is.
Oh,
They
okay.
just tell Shmuel, we want a king, and he goes and anoints Shaul.
I
Who in
thought he
fact
taught him
is,
all the halachas about that. You know, be
well,
careful with that for and all
right,
that.
he tells him to be careful about the powers of the king, but
Yeah.
he doesn't specify this idea that okay, when I'm going to go find a king, it's got to be Mekarav Achvecha, right?
Yeah.
That's almost a positive thing. It's got to be represented. It's got to be something that people want, right? Shmuel is against the whole concept of a king, so he doesn't give any of the positive sides of it.
Yeah.
Here we're saying a melech doesn't sound like a bad thing. A moshe, someone who opposes himself, is a bad thing. A melech is something that you've chosen, right? You need some leader, some single representative of the people. So this is the Pachad Yitzchak on Rosh Hashanah. This is Rav Huttner. See if we can explain this. Yiduim him divrehem shel chachmei lasham. Everybody knows what the chachmei lasham, people who know the Hebrew language. He's talking about the Vilna Gaon here. That the difference between Melech and Moshe, he said that that a Moshe, we said, is imposed on the people. It's not by the will of the governed. But a Melech Melucha is by the consent of the governed, will of the governed, as they say. He says, yeah, this is true. But that's much more superficial. What is it really about? When you look deeper, this represents the Adina, the beautiful. Anyone translate Adina? Recognition ki Adam she'ba Adam. What really means to be human, the essence of what is to be human. And El Adat Shebo is in the dot. It's in the mind. So, it says that Malchut is only on Domeh. It's got to be this. You got to be one of those being ruled. It can't be something outside. It's got to be similar to those being ruled. The lion is called the king of the beast. Because it is one of, it is in fact a beast. Adam shalit al chayot, but if you had a human being ruling over animals, in El Moshe, that would be Moshe. If nation Adam musug balachai, because yeah, a human being is not one of the beasts. It'd be something different. That's a Moshe. The ones being ruled have to find something in common with the ruler himself. Vafilu im. Who shalate al kol kochotan shalazola. So if someone rules over another, I'm in charge of you. Kol she'eino shalate al koach hadat shebo, but I can't control your mind. And that's the essence of what it is to be human. Then harehi ein hu shalate al adam shebazola. So I'm not ruling over the other, oh, of another human being. You know, elak shalate al balechaim, it's like ruling over a beast. Midat ha-mulcha, the reshet davka hishtayachut l'sug echad, because mulcha, in this sense, requires a sense of unity. You have to be related to one another. So therefore, we can derive that mulcha only applies, is no heget, el bizman she mulcha mitkayemet, Himidatosh. You can only be called a melech if the dot of the one being ruled agrees with it. That's what it means to be a melech on a human being, is to have rulership over their dot. You can't control someone else's dot. Okay, tyranny is not malchut because there's no way to coerce someone else's dot, someone else's mind. That's a quote from Viktor Frankl. That everything can be taken from a man, but one thing, the last of the human freedoms, to choose one's attitude in every given circumstances, to choose one's way. We need our dot all working together. That makes melech. So how does that apply to Mishlei and to ethics? What does it mean to have a melech in the sense of an individual? And the next pasuk provides a hint. Next pasuk, after the fact that you need the entire Am has to come together to create a melech, and with the Efes La'om, without the people, Michtat Razon, the prince is nothing. Then it's Erech HaPayim Rav Tehunah. Great understanding comes with patience, being slow to anger. Tzaruach Meri Mevelet, and being short-tempered is foolishness. Because that's what it's understanding what being a melech is an individual has to do with anger and losing control. We've talked about it before. Pasuk Yud Zayin talks about Katara Payim Yasa Ivelet, that someone is short-tempered will be foolishness. And I hear the idea that you can have something that the idea that getting angry is you losing control of yourself represents the idea that we imagine there's a real you, there's a little someone inside of our heads that's controlling everything else. There's a sense of self that's supposed to be the melech, supposed to be ruling over all of the parts of our rest of our mind. Your mind as a whole as a melech. And that sense of self, that I am me, that's called consciousness. Which I think that the metaphor for melech is. And the melech, your consciousness has to be controlling all of you, all the rest of the parts of you. You can't lose control. That's Mishlei's message. And we, of course, you quote my favorite cartoon, SNBC. Guy says, they're aliens. We're not the only conscious life. And the alien says, yes, you are. It is the only planet with consciousness. It's weird. Consciousness only comes up when you have a mind actually made up of thousands of individual modules that are barely on speaking terms. In that condition, evolution's best move is a whole nother layer that monitors all the shouting, determines which of the breast roots to sex and food. Evolutionary approach. We need to have the sense of self to keep all the various parts of our brain together. Everywhere else in the universe, you either have a singular processor or a harmonious parallel system. You guys are like a sack of cats on which someone stuck googly eyes. I said, my God, that is the greatest definition of consciousness I've ever heard. That's what it means. That's what the human brain is like. It's a sack of cats with a pair of googly eyes on top of it, trying to act like an individual. And I think it's a good model because that's what this idea of the self is. That your mind has parts. We talk about this idea of lev, heart, mind, nefesh, conscience, not conscious, not consciousness. The idea is that you have this kind of little voice inside telling us what we do. Every one of these things are yelling and giving us advice. Different aspects of our Yetzer Hara, we have Kina, Taiva, Kavod, like Maslow's pyramid of needs. We all know that one, right? Ruthie's just definitely nodding over here. That's like Psych 101 here. Like all these things pushing us to do things, but there's one us in all of that. There's a sense of me overlooking, overseeing all of that. You're not just a sack of cats, and we really have those googly eyes stuck on the front. That's who we really are. We'll talk about consciousness a little bit. That neuroscientists are fascinated by this question. Where does that come from? How do you look in a brain and find the person? Where is that? The consciousness, in the sense used here, is the existence of an inner life, the thoughts, sensation, and feelings that constitutes what it is like to be a system acting in the world. For many, the motivation to study consciousness is encapsulated in David Chalmers' observations. So David Chalmers is a philosopher, cognitive scientist, who kind of brought these kind of questions to the fore, starting in the 1990s. Obviously relevant now, I think, more than ever, because we have all these computers that Yeah, AI that talk like human, talk like they're thinking, but is there a consciousness in there? Is there there? You know, there's nothing that we know more intimately than conscious experience, but there's nothing harder to explain. We all know that we exist. We have no idea how to explain it. This was another article. Everything we are certain about reality and the way the universe seems to operate is described through this lens of human consciousness. There's any objective truth which can approach certainty is that something is taking place, something is happening, something's there, something is being experienced. It is consciousness for allow that allows this truth to be. This is indeed what Descartes was referring to his famous philosophical axiom, I think, therefore I am. Right? If I'm doing thinking, obviously I must exist, otherwise, what's thinking? So neuroscientists have no idea what consciousness means. I think this is David Chalmers calls it that the hard problem of consciousness. You can look this up. How do we go from neurons to the experience of being me? The Torah has an approach to it. Right? Torah says, Vayevro came out the Adam B'Tselmo, right? We're created in the image of God, B'Tselmo Elokim Baroto. Or later on in Bereshit, Vayitzer Hashem Elokim at Adam. God created the human being, Afar min Afar, formed him out of the dust, Vayipach ba'pav nishmat chayim. But breathe the breath of life into his nostrils. The Adam and Nefesh Chaya, and the human being became a Nefesh Chaya. The living being, famously Unkelos translated as Nefesh Mamalia, a speaking being. That's this one and the idea, what is the Tzelem Elohim? What does it mean to the image of God? So the Meshech Chachma says, Tzelem Elohi hiya bechira. That means we have free will. You have the ability to make choices. That's what the us is. We're not simply beholden to the laws of physics. B'li teva machriach, and nature doesn't force us to do things. Rak me'atz ratzon v'sechel chavshi. We have free will. We have our own wants. Ani yodim shebechira chavshi tu mitzimtzum elokit. That our free will is from God's tzimtzum, limiting himself. God pulled back and says, here, you can decide. You can make your own choices. That's what it is to be human. Shemit Barach meniach makom lebriyav la'asot kefi ma'aseh. That human being has the ability. Human beings have the ability to do that which they want.
But there are little contradictions in the Torah. God hardened Pharaoh's heart.
We'll talk about that.
Are things that, we're in charge, but Hashem's in charge.
Yes. I mean, that is true, right? And that's the famous Rabbi Akiva, Kol Tzofui V'Rashut Netunah. Right? Everything's foreseen, but permission exists. The question of Paro hardening, of Hashem hardening Paro's heart is a different one, though. Because Rambam says explicitly that was, he was taken away that Tzelem Elokim, right? As we call it, Nishmat Chayim. It's a reflection of the divine, Tzelem Elokim.
Yeah.
That gives us, we have this. This right, we have our we experience our own existence. That's what free will is, but it doesn't come automatically, right? You can say you're a clever ape, right? Evolution doesn't make that happen automatically, and this is an important point because you can imagine being a human being apparently, but not having any internal experiences, not having a sense of self. Again, this is David Chalmers. Is often credited with popularizing the concept of philosophical zombies or pea zombies. You sound really cool if you talk about being a pea zombie or someone else. Okay. The most common of the zombie thought experiments is often used as a case against physicalism, meaning everything's just a manifestation of the physical brain, which claims that everything in the universe, including consciousness, is physical. The pea zombie is a hypothetical creature, such as a human, which exhibits all the outward indicators of agency. It moves, selects, adapts, and reacts, but has no internally subjective or experiential qualities. And I can't tell scientifically whether you are pea zombies or not. I know I have internal experiences. I know I have a sense of existence, but I have no idea if you do. I can't be inside your brain. I don't know what it's like to be you. So the idea is to demonstrate that we can imagine a universe exactly like our own, inhabited by creatures exactly like us, but devoid of conscious experience. One imagines zombies driving around in cars, arguing in the street corner, and taking long walks on the beach, all the while having no conscious experience. This would be an entirely physicalist, materialist world consisting only of matter and laws that govern matter. So if we can imagine a world exactly like ours without the need for subjective experience, why is this not the reality we have? Where does this sense of consciousness? That's a big problem for the neuroscientists. Not for us, but if you say that's what the Tzelem Elokim is. But you can lose that, okay? And that Rambam says exactly that that is a possible punishment. Hashem can take it away. And this is the Rambam saying. Right, it's possible for a being to sin so badly, or so sin so often, so God judges that God decides that the punishment will be that punishment for these sins, so know that you did it me from free will. You no longer can do tshuva. You no longer have the ability to regret, which means no longer, you no longer have free will. And we take away the ability to do tshuva, asa, and you'll now you'll be lost in the sin that was done. As it says, ani akshet leparo, harming Paro's heart was in fact taking away his humanity. That was the punishment. Okay? He was no longer a human being. He was now a pea zombie in Charmel's terms.
But it also is, he did have his own agency up to a certain point.
That's
And when
Rambam's point.
he used
But
it,
yeah,
then
and
he
the
lost
punishment was to take that away. So at that point, he's no longer responsible for those act his own actions any more than a rock would be, but it didn't matter. I say at that point that the Paro was an NPC, a non-player character.
it. Yeah.
You're playing role-playing games, right? The player characters are run by the actual players, and everyone else is just a bit part.
But also, it's the Torah teaching us we could all be like that.
That is a potential punishment, and it's hard to imagine being having that taken away. It's equivalent to being dead.
Yeah.
No experience there. But that's what it is. So they're saying that that is what that sense of self that pulls everything together. So it gives us power. And it's most obvious, this is the Yaakov Kamenetsky talking about, that power that we have by being free will is that we create the rules of the universe. It says that's the idea of a neder. We can create our own halachic rules. We make ethics. And we see that in the laws of Nedarim. So from this halacha of a neder, a vow, we can see that a human being has the power. The person can create new mitzvot, new averot. Meaning, person swears, I'm going to eat this roll, this piece of bread. Now it's a mitzvah. And now it's a real mitzvah, just like eating matzah and Pesach. So too, if you express an oath, I'm not going to eat this piece of bread. Now it's that role is forbidden, just like eating chazir, eating traitors. Right? If I dedicate something to the Beit HaMikdash, it's now holy. Someone else eats it, they're over on stealing from the Beit HaMikdash. Raise the chayav mita b'dei shamayim, and you have parrot for that. Korchacha, and you have to say mitnei adam b'asher tzelem elokim. That represents the fact that a human being is tzelem elokim, the image of the divine, of godliness, as Rabbi Shulman would say. Yesh l'koach. I wonder if that, I thought I corrected all these. Didn't save it. That's very strange. I edited all this and nothing got saved. Okay. Sorry about the person can create isurim chadashim, new for provisions, barehim chalim, and they apply. Right? But just like Hashem establishes rules, we can establish rules too. And with that great moral power comes great moral responsibility, Spider-Man, right? In terms of this SMBC metaphor, our job is to keep all those cats under control. And that's what Erech HaPayim Rav Tuuna means. You can't lose control of yourself. That lends to the foolishness, that ends up to the evil that someone's been arguing against the whole time. Use your power of the mind. He's not losing control. That's Rabbi Yonah on this pasuk here. Mishemosha b'kaso. So, controlling your own anger, right? You got to be, you get anger with Moshe here, but I would say it'd be Melech, right? Ruling over one's own anger. Ve'inu no kem be'chamato, and don't take revenge at the moment your anger. Until you get calm, settle down. Yachshov kedat ma'asot, and you think about what to do. That automatically makes you a person of great tivuna, of understanding. You're a smart person if you can keep control of yourself. Because someone who's short-tempered can't stop and think. Because you're going to do whatever comes to your mind first, whatever it feels right at the moment. Al tidei ha-mechaker, and you're not going to stop, take the time to think on all the sides. To see if there's anything you might say, well, no, that wasn't a good idea. Think before you act. Right? Executive functioning, they call that. You get to a plan that actually works. And that only works with someone who's calm. Someone who's not short-tempered. That is someone who can be settled in their own mind. And Rav Volba talks about this a lot. To be an Adam Shalem, complete human being, you have to have your mind, your self, the ego, the consciousness has to be in control of everything else. Adam Shalema, someone who's in their right mind, their full mind, ainly bo and so isn't forced from your urges. Who shakuf legamrei latzmo is completely transparent to themselves. Understand what all these various parts you are pushing for. And is true. And is consistent with reality outside. You don't deny what is really happening. You're seeing what's going on in the world. Adam shakufazeh, a human being is, we'll translate, shakuf is transparent, able to see. You're aware of yourself. Kol kochotav niharin lo bevat achat. You can see all of his various kochot forces within him all at once. Ramamot medregotav ad shiflut yitzro, from the highest to the lowest, the most base desires. Gam amdo matzav gavoah, and even in such a person, even when they're in some elevated position, a position of power, in Sivato, he doesn't deny where he came from, and knows that he can make a mistake, as you get here, you can make mistakes in your own thinking, you can hurt others. You'll be aware of that if you can stop and think and try to think about yourself. That only a mind that's this all-encompassing, he is so can live a balanced life. He's still him and will keep the positive forces, go him the elevated ones, and will avoid the negative ones. Okay, and the idea is that sometimes I feel I'm just the CEO of my brain listening to a board of advisors. That's what your mind is. And I've made some terrible hiring choices. Realize that there are all these bad things echoing in your brain as well. And you, that conscious, that you that's on top of all of that, has to make those choices. That's what this metaphor of being a melech is. So the next pasuk is Chayei Bisarim, right? The life of Bisarim, of flesh, of in the plural, like all these parts together, the lev marpeh, which Koren translates as a tranquil heart, literally a healing heart, brings them all together. And the lev there, the test then is the that's the googly eyes in this metaphor, holding it all together. It has to be a marpeh, bring everything together, trying to establish harmony in your own mind. And so therefore, rakev atzmot kin'ah, that kin'ah, which Rashi translates not so much as jealousy but as anger, will destroy the bones. It will destroy everything. Can't get angry. Rashi says it, rakev is a person who is a easily get who gets mad, who loses control of themselves, smote who lakol, ruins everything. Very bones are wiped out. Right? Anger makes it impossible to remain conscious in this sense. They have the idea that there's one you that's running everything else in your mind. You just aren't yourself when you're angry, and the Gemara says about this, Rishlakish Omer, Kol Adam Shiko Es, anyone who gets mad, in im chachamhu, if he's wise, chachmatom is the leket mimenu, his wisdom leaves. You can't think straight. So then Shlomo turns to a very religious statement. Shekdal charefo sehu. Someone who oppresses the poor is a blaspheming his creator. Machabdo, someone who is good to the poor honors his creator. This is now a statement about God and about creation. But the purpose of our creation with this free will is to do good to others. That's our job. That's what we're supposed to do with this united consciousness and making decisions. And as the Malbim says it, Hashem lo bereta adam l'ra'ato. God did not create human beings that they should suffer for their bad. Rakotoba to, this is for the good of human beings. And kol b'riyah shebara, and every creation, hechin lo mizana, has some way of, as it were, earning a living, of eating, of existing. Everything creation does. Bechin lo akelim shebam tatzurav techinat mizana, and every creature has the tools it needs to survive. That's the assumption that creation is good, God is benevolent. Amnam. The truth is, human beings don't always have that, not as individuals. Adam shemizno tav kashim lasi, human beings who find it very difficult to survive on their own. Yishtalim b'chalachayim shemasigim mizno, and there are those who are poor. In fact, we're all poor in something. We all need each other. Echim b'teva adam yazor l'chaveiro. Our nature is to be social. We are created to help each other survive. As it says in Mishlei, Ashir v'rash nifgashu, that when the poor and the rich meet, Oseh kolam Hashem, God has made all of this. That's our job. Misha oshek et adam. So oppressing the poor of ein noten los chavro and doesn't help them, karef oseh, is blaspheming his creator. You're saying, God, you got it all wrong. Kilu baro l'ra'ato, and you're saying, God, you create that this person deserves to suffer. Lo himsilo terfo b'cheotav shebodihayem, and there's obviously this poor person has no way to survive. Zecher pagadolalo se'o. This is blasphemy. This is cursing God. Jaseh bal chayim lo yimitzeh lo tzarchav. You claim that God created someone without creating any way to support him. But in fact, that was your job to do that. And the Gemara says, I should look that up, exactly where, the one who, if Hashem gave life, that Hashem gives some way of surviving. It's there. The way of surviving may be a gift to the others, and that's what you need to do. And then the next pasuk,
Right, Danny, basically it's saying we're only here to do good.
we are all here to do good. We are all interdependent. We have to know that. And your purpose is to do good to the other. That's what he's saying. That not doing that is cheref oseh, is cursing God.
But it's also denying that you're basically a mortal person, that everybody needs help along the way. At some point.
Right. So as a practical matter, it's good to help others because then you might need it yourself. We're saying almost as a sort of metaphysical idea that you're the whole reason that you exist is so that you can help somebody else.
Right.
Okay. It's not just, I mean, it's not just practical. Well, I can better plan for the future and start being nice to this person because they may help me later.
No, but I'm just saying to have the empathy to realize that there's no perfect human being. You know what I mean? There's
Yes.
no immortal human being. There's,
That's the idea that we're created to be like that. We're not created to be independent, right? John Donne, no man is an island. That's
Exactly.
not for the bell tolls, it tolls for thee. Okay. And so, and then the next passage is a little bit different. It's a little harder to translate. Bratot yidacher rasha. I translate where the wicked is thrust down in his bratot, in his misfortune. But then this chosebe motot tzaddik, that the tzaddik has faith in his death, or is sheltered in death. What does that mean? I mean, Art Scroll translated as, and his evil, wicked one is cast off from God, but he would take shelter in him, remains righteous in death, remains righteous all the time. But if you parallel, you would say that's bratot yidacher rasha, that the rasha is cast off his wickedness, and righteous bimoto, even in death, are still sheltered by God. Are still chosé. They still are sheltered. We had that word last time about what chosé means. But the Ralbag says it's a little different. This is not about actually being pushed away from God or having a shelter. It's about attitude toward adversity. The ratot didacher rasha doesn't mean that rasha is cast aside. It means he feels himself cast aside. When faced with Ra'ato, when bad things happen to Rasha, he feels that God's pushed him or rejected him. The tzaddik feels no, feels sheltered even when bad things are happening. Now the Hashem's still there. Right? This is Ra'abag. Near Rashi, the Kishet Lo. Vitkatsef. The Rasha, something bad ha is someone who, when bad things happen, rejects God. For God hates me, I don't have anything to do with this. Ulam tzaddik, but the righteous lo dechem will not lose faith. Afilu b'sibat ha-mavet, even going as far as death, aval b'matot yechaseh b'Hashem yitbarach, will still have faith. Ben Yonah says something similar, that b'ratot yidacher rasha, the rasha is cast off, similarly to ki sheva yipol tzaddik, famous pasuk later on in Mishlei. The tzaddik falls down seven times, but come and gets back up. Rishaim yikashlu bara'ah, but the wicked stop with wicked stumble with any misfortune. Sheim lo tukuma lifnei ra'ah achat afki elve shiva. Plus, the Russia doesn't get up when something bad happens. Certainly not after falling seven times. But chosev motot tzaddik, the ain tzarich lomar shu chosev be'et ha'ra'ah, that the tzaddik still feels sheltered with God when things bad happen. So Yidacheba doesn't feel rejected. Gavmato, even if things get that bad, facing death, Uchosebishebrach still has faith in God, still feels sheltered. Latzion Hashem, that God will save him. And that, in fact, goes back with the previous pasuk that we have faith that Hashem created things for good. This will work out. And that goes with the fact that it's not that I'm gonna solve all the problems by myself. I am dependent on others, and that's your point. Just like I have to help others, I have to acknowledge that I'm gonna be dependent on others as well. As long as I have that, I can get through this. There's a famous story about Hezekiah, king of Yehuda, and for the end of Malachim Bet. Chalach At that time, after Chizkiyahu was saved from the armies of Sanherib, Chizkiyahu was sick. He was going to die. Yeshaya the Navi came to him, and says him, "Call Mar Hashem, thus saith the Lord, Tzav, write your will, ki mota metatav, because you're going to die. You will not survive this illness." So Chizkiyahu turns to the wall, v'palel Hashem, le'mor, and prays to God. He says, "Ana Hashem, please God, zechor nat asher halachti l'fanecha, remember how I've walked with you, v'emet, in truth and honesty, b'lev shalem, wholeheartedly, asiti, and I did what was right in your eyes. And Chizkiyahu cried greatly. Yisrael leaves, but doesn't get even to the inner courtyard. And Hashem's word came to him and said, "Shuv, go back." And go back to Chizkiyahu, the ruler of my people. Thus saith the Lord, the God of David, your ancestor. I've heard your prayer. I've seen your tears. You will be healed. I've healed you, God tells him. In 3 days, you'll go back to the Beit HaMikdash. And you'll live for another 15 years. I'll save you from the hands of the Assyrians. At the Ir Hazot, I'll save the city of Yerushalayim. I will protect the city, for my sake and the sake of David. The Navi comes to him and tells him, "This is your final illness." And Chizkiyahu says, "No, I'm still going to pray." And Hashem tells him and says, "You got 15 more years." And this is the way the Gemara says, details this story. Amar Yeshayahu Chizkiyahu. Yeshayahu tells Chizkiyahu, "Kvar nigzra lecha." The decree is already set. Nothing you can do. Amar, so Chizkiyahu says, "Ben Amutz." Yeshayahu ben Amutz. Kala nevuatcha, go shut your nevuah up, but say, get out of here. I understand from my ancestors. I have this tradition. Even if there is a sharp sword at the neck of a human being, don't give up hope for having rachamim. You can always be saved. And that's what it means to say, right, even at that moment, you still have hope and faith. This will work. So that's what the next pasuk connects, says, that wisdom rests. It says menucha, this tranquility with that in the heart of the understanding, that chachma will be at rest. Right, erech apayim rav tevunah, you have to be calm. If you can keep that self-control, then you can understand what's going to happen, and you can still have hope for the future. And that's the ethical message. That equanimity, that sense of calm, goes with wisdom, and that goes with righteousness. We quote that pasuk in Birkat Mazon, right? Naraiti gamza kanti v'lo titzak nezak. I was young, I became old, I never saw a righteous person abandoned bzaram mevakesh lachem and his children begging for bread. Okay, which is clearly not true. Tzadikim are poor and their children beg for bread. It happens. So Hirsch, and this is the Eitz Yosef, translate differently. Not bzaram mevakesh lachem is not. I've never seen it happen, but that the tzaddik is not nezav, is not abandoned, even as bzaram mevakesh lachem, even if his children are begging. Tzaddik does not feel abandoned when he has to depend on others. He said he's aware that Hashem provides, but does in various ways. He gives graciously, accepts graciously. And so you can accept that the Navon, in this sense, one understands that will have Tanuach HaMachamah, will be calm. Tishkona b'tishko b'nachat, Rashi says. The rest will not lose, the temple will not fall victim to despair, but will remain calm. And then the other half of that pasuk is b'kerek silim tivadea, and that wisdom is known in the midst of fools, which Rashi says it means that to be a kasil, which is a kind of fool, is self-important. Yet, I know everything. I don't need to learn from anyone else. That's just kind of the self-confidence that's just gets being too extreme. And that they need tibada, they need to make sure everybody else knows how smart they are. They need to show off. That whatever little wisdom they have, this kasil, this fool has, he needs to announce it. And this is a great quote from the Gemara. Baba Metzia says, "Istra b'ligna kish kish karye," that one coin in a pushka, in a container, clanks a lot. You shake it, you can hear it. If it's absolutely full of coins, you can't hear so much because it doesn't move that much. So the person who knows only one thing, they gotta tell it to everybody else. It makes a lot of noise. That's missing the point of chachma, right? The kesil is what we call a well actually person. This idea of well actually, someone has to always say that. You know, I gotta correct you. Something really minor point. Who's nodding her head? You know those kind of people. It's a slang term used to describe a particular type of person who feels the need to interject in conversations and correct others in a condescending or pedantic manner. Individuals typically have an overly inflated sense of their own intelligence and knowledge and believe that they are always right and everyone else is wrong. While actually, a person can be found in all walks of life, from the workplace to social gatherings, they often make themselves known by interrupting conversations with unsolicited corrections or fact-checking. They use phrases like "I'm actually" or "well, technically" to preface their corrections. That's the kasil. Gotta make everybody know. What chachma is now is being able to say, okay, you have to integrate everything, all the aspects of your inner self, and the humility to learn from the outside world. And that's what that was Woba said. That's shakuf legamre latzmo, transparent to themselves, lamiti legamre, and completely open and honest klapei metziut about the outside world. I can accept what's outside. And so we have Pasuk Lamed Daled, which gets back to this political philosophy of tzedakah turumem goy, that righteousness, tzedakah, justice, translate that way, is a glory for a nation, but chesed lumim chatat is a sin for the nation. So Karin translates that because it doesn't sound like a chesed should be a chatat, should be a sin. Karin translates chesed here as your reproach. In Aramaic, chesed means an embarrassment. Right? The sin is an embarrassment for nations, as opposed to tzedakah, which works, it's parallel, but it's not why everyone translates. Everyone translates it as literally chesed. That kindness, in this sense, is a wrong for a nation as a political philosophy. This is Rav Hirsch, that tzedakah, justice, under which all people are guaranteed certain rights and entitlements, that equal justice. When such a system is implemented fully and fairly, it promotes equality in national community. Every member of the nation is equal in both rights and obligations, and the full benefits of tzedakah extend to everyone. So that's what tzedakah is, and that's what nations should try to do. That's what you should have. Government should be a native of tzedakah, not of chesed, favor. Can be its by its nature practiced only by individuals for the benefit of individuals. For a country to do so through special dispensations and grants would constitute favoritism and should be avoided. That's Rav Hirsch. Okay, you can't make distinctions in the law. An individual has privileges belong exclusively to them and can use them in accordance to their own private judgment. But states have no private means at their disposal. Their means and rights belong to the population collectively. Thus, the state cannot award individual grants or dispensations without doing injustice to others. Consequently, the mercy of states is a sin, for a state cannot practice custom-tailored kindness without perpetrating a sin. That's the philosophy of the statement. But it works with the metaphor as well, right? And as in terms of the conscious self, you can't just use one of your kochot, one aspect of your personality. Don't give chesed to one and not to the other. Teach them all together. Favoring one cat in the sack leads to imbalance, prevents good moral judgment. And so the section ends. The last pasuk is Ratzon Melech Eved Maskil, the king finds favor with a wise servant, ish, and as JPS translates, rages his anger. His evra is to an incompetent, malik mavish. Could be translated as embarrassing, shameful. But mavish also means just to be bad. So I like incompetent. Rages at an incompetent servant. But I would take that evrato, that the king's anger leads to incompetence. You want to be competent, avoid the anger, it losing. You know, anger leads to the loss of control over your whole sack of cats. That the ratzon, this idea of being able to compete, being able to get anything done, comes from keeping yourself together. And again, this is the Ramchal for the Chabot HaLevavot. Kavanat HaTorah, the intention of the Torah is Lamshil HaSechel B'chol Tavat HaNefesh, that your Sechel, again, the sense of your conscious ego, yourself, should keep control of all the wants and desires of this person, who like be ro aleihem and rule over them. When you do it, everyone knows. If the opposite happens, if you let your mind be ruled by the mob, yirosh kol chatot v'sibat kol gnut, that's the reason for every sin and every wrongdoing. And Ramchal uses the word lamshil, which he says to impose a rule, right? But being moshel on the taba leads to ksaruach. That leads to being short-tempered. You want to be melech. Pull everything together. All these parts need to work together. And we'll finish with Ali Shur again, with Ravolba. Asecha tzura, this mind that forms, that makes you who you are. Mamid kol kochem puts everyone, every part, every force within you into its right place. Mishamesh b'chol ha'tavav makom asher tzarich lishamesh ba, using everything appropriately. Racheket d'meyona mishareta t'tavot, and is able to distance the imagination that runs our base desires, mishdamishbo, but uses it, the tzorach of Hashem, for serving Hashem. That's Barov Am Hadar Melech in this metaphor. That's you as the Melech ruling over the Rov Am, all those little voices in you. Don't be the guy up here who's made terrible hiring choices. And the truth is, you got some bad choices in you too, but be in charge of that. Be the CEO. And integrate all these parts yourself. And that's a prerequisite to Chachmah. That leads to equanimity, nachat, ruach, calmness, and that you can now make that moral judgment. And then we can talk about whether pigs have wings. And I will stop here. Okay, and we should be able to continue on next week, assuming I can learn something, and we'll start Perek Tetvav.
Danny, I won't start now because it's getting late, but I just want to ask about this. When you talk about using all of your controlling yourself and using the good parts that you have, with what's going on, governmentally, where you have these criminals being forgiven or pardoned and stuff like that, and it totally, goes against the rule of law.
I will never make comments relative to contemporary politics.
No, but I'm saying it could
Draw
happen
your own
to any
conclusions.
government if somebody was doing it for their own benefit as opposed to the good of the people.
I'm not going to tell you what to do, how to think about what's going on in government right now. I'm just going to offer suggestions at how do you go ruling your own mind? That's all we're going to talk about here. I will not make comments on contemporary politics.
Okay. Did you
It
ever
makes
see the Inside
me
Out?
happier. What? Oh,
Did you?
yes.
That's what this
I
makes me think of. It's IFS therapy. It's internal family systems, and it's this idea that you have all these different parts, and how do you, figure out how to be in control of those parts in a way that isn't suppressing the other parts, but is giving everybody their voice, but.
yes. So I assign Inside Out to all my parents. And they have 11-year-old kids, because it's very real, but it doesn't express the idea that there is some the Melech idea. These are all independent things that are all fighting and trying to get together. But where is the, what's your name? Riley? What's your name? Right. There isn't a sense of Riley in all of that, which I think it's missing that part of the metaphor. It's
I think
showing the
it is there. I
sacrifice.
don't think they're explicit enough about it, like it is in this, in Mishlei, which I think is very valuable. But I think that, in order to integrate these parts in a way that make them work together in a way that keeps you calm and equanimity, you have to have that Moshe. I mean, the part of you that is Melech, sorry, not Moshe.
Yes. I think that's important, right? You're right. In the Inside Out, in the movie, mean, Joy has two different roles, which I think is a weakness of the movie. Joy is good, is doing both. It's both the trying to rule everything and is also just representing the okay, just be happy about everything.
Right. No, I think this is a better approach. But I
You
do think that
yourself
it.
is a sack of cats with googly eyes. That's what you are.
Janet, you have to watch the movie and then you can discuss
Wait,
it.
you ever
Can you
watch?
find out? Is that the cartoon?
Yes.
It was done by Pixel or whatever.
Pixar, yeah.
Okay, yeah, I did see it. It was good, but I saw it a long time ago.
Okay,
But
well,
they have
I,
a
like I said,
new
I
one too.
assigned it as homework.
Oh,
Do you see
really?
the
The first or the second?
first
I only
person?
saw the first one.
The second one was good, but the real message is in the first one.
Yeah. So we'll see that again, you guys recommend?
Yeah.
Okay.
Worth learning.
All right.
Okay.
Thanks, Jenny. Have a good night.
Okay, have a good
Bye.
night.